This is Akashwani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India-ASEAN cooperation for peace, prosperity and regional stability. The participants are Anil Kumar Trigunayath, former diplomat, and Rajesh Lake, anchor.
A warm welcome, Anilji, to the studios of Akashwani.
Thank you.
We just want to find out from you about the first ASEAN Future Forum. What is it all about and what is the objective of this formation?
This is a platform which is looking at how the countries basically in the Indo-Pacific, essentially, including ASEAN and the other littoral countries in the Indian Ocean, are going to look at the collaborations with various countries which are interested in the security and the stability and prosperity of the region. So this is a very important forum which is being organized by Vietnam recently. And I think our External Affairs Minister participated in that and reiterated India's commitment to the peace and prosperity and centrality of ASEAN in the region. And it is very important, especially in the ongoing scenario, what we are seeing, the Sino-US contestation, which is geopolitical and geoeconomic in nature. And therefore, India's role in this and India's association with this grouping is very important.
So what about the ACT East policy, of which ASEAN is at the heart of this ACT East policy, and it is a crucial pillar in India's wider Indo-Pacific vision. Would you elaborate on this aspect?
Yes, Rajeshji, you are absolutely right. I remember that when I was in 1997, and there was Singapore's Prime Minister was here and addressing a CII conference. And at that conference, he mentioned that India continues to look towards West and is not paying enough attention to the East. Although we had started our policies and engagement in 1992, but that was going pretty slowly. And then subsequently, in the more than three decades of our relationship with them, now it's the fourth decade actually, the ASEAN and India's relationship has moved in every which way. We are part of nearly every forum, every organizational construct that the ASEAN has. And we have a strategic partnership with them. But still, I don't think we have acquired our fullest potential, especially in trade and investment and the security architecture. And that is what the whole effort is about. Secondly, what we are seeing is because of the Sino-US competition and the Indo-Pacific becoming a major hotbed of geopolitics, a large number of countries have devised their Indo-Pacific strategies. And India has also got its own Indo-Pacific strategy as well as Indo-Pacific Oceans Initiative. And the ASEAN has its own initiative, which is, or outlook as it is called, ASEAN Indo-Pacific Outlook. Now, in this one, essentially, we are trying to synergize and fine-tune both so that they could be mutually sustaining, as India considered ASEAN as very central to the stability of the Indo-Pacific.
India supports the ASEAN unity, Anilji, centrality and the ASEAN outlook on Indo-Pacific as well. How come a strong and unified ASEAN play a constructive role in the emerging regional architecture of the Indo-Pacific?
Well, I think the regional architecture is extremely important. But let us not forget, there are two major players, and India is in the Indian Ocean, but in the Pacific part, whether it's Southeast, South China Sea or the East China Sea, there are other problems. So with the maritime disputes with major powers like Japan and South Korea and the Philippines and Vietnam and others, with China has all kinds of various territorial and maritime claims against them. And there has been a continuing hegemonistic attitude of China, which does not believe in the free and open Indo-Pacific. I mean, we have two countries, basically, we must look at. One is the United States, which wants to continue, which has been a part of the new order which emerged after 1945. But it is not a part of the UNCLOS Treaty, which defines the way the order should prevail on the seas. On the other hand, China is a signatory, but it continuously violates it. So what India says? India says that we need a free and open Indo-Pacific because we depend on these maritime routes and the security of this for our own health and welfare, I would say. And therefore, China, on the other hand, continues to have its hegemonistic attitude. It says that if I will not allow you to fly into this or that, so that's the major problem. Whereas US's policy has been to contain China, India's policy has been inclusive of China, but a China that follows the rules-based order. That is something that we are looking at today. Now, it is in that context that the ASEAN and India are trying to work together. But that does not mean that all the ASEAN countries have identical approaches or the policies even within their ASEAN Pacific outlook, because they are yet to come up with the key parameters of that, which can then synergize with the Indian approach. So there, some countries have closer relationship. Others don't want to criticize China. They want to benefit from Chinese economic experience. Secondly, they are seeing that China is also playing a bit smart, because there are many countries that are now getting out of their companies, Western companies coming out of China. They want to see China plus one model. So when it comes to that, then they want to go to India, Vietnam, Philippines, or any other Indonesia and other countries. So that's another model, and China is trying to invest in those countries in the ASEAN to see to it that it is able to compete effectively in the global value supply chains. India wants to become a major player in the global value supply chains, both within the context of the Quad, Indo-Pacific, as well as within our own expanding economic footprint.
So listening to you makes me ask this question about relationship between China, US and ASEAN, in that India is playing a balancing act, or is it more of a peacemaker?
Well, I don't think we can make play a role of a peacemaker between China and US. That is not possible, because we have our own problems with China, as you know, the borders as well as in the...
So is the balancing act being implemented by...
Yes. What India is doing is trying to have, I think, a positively inclined action for enriching ties with the ASEAN countries in particular. USA is our partner in the Quad. It is our global comprehensive strategic partner. China has become an adversary of India because it has violated every agreement that it has signed. So therefore, that's a threat to India. That's a challenge for India. And India needs to be aware of that. India does not want war. We have never said. They are sitting on our territory and they want to, you know, occupy more. And India will not allow that, which we have seen since 2020. And the ocean and the maritime domain, again, India is one country which is probably the most responsible power at this moment in the region, and has always provided, emerged as a first responder and a net security provider. And therefore, the role with the ASEAN countries emerges. So that's why our collaboration, we just had recently, 2023, I think, we had the first India-ASEAN exercises, military exercises, or naval exercises. We have recently sold one of our finest missiles, BrahMos hypersonic, to the Philippines. The Vietnam wants to buy that. So they also want to beef up their own capacities in order to counter and protect their own territories. And India is helping in that. So to that extent, you can say it is playing a role in capacity building of those countries to contain any adversarial action against them.
So how is the synergy being maintained between India's Indo-Pacific Oceans Initiative, IPOI, and the ASEAN outlook on the Indo-Pacific?
Well, this is what I said. I said the India's Indo-Pacific Oceans Initiative is a very clearly defined area in which how the security, stability and prosperity of the region and the Indo-Pacific can be maintained. Many countries have joined in. There are the how to keep the oceans healthy. That's another very major thing. Climate change and all those major dimensions are very much part of it, apart from the security aspect, which is not only the military security, but there are other kinds of securities also which are involved in these growing challenges that are facing the oceans as also. Now, on the other hand, we have countries which are trying to have exert their hegemony. Now, what are the ASEAN countries' situation in that? Now, they have this ASEAN Indo-Pacific outlook, which has been crafted by them, but still, some of the countries are still mulling over it to go how far they can go with it, to what extent they can go with it. And I think that there was recently a conference also in which this was discussed, that the ASEAN Pacific outlook was discussed there, and exactly how to synergize. They have committed, they have formed some kind of a committee. And I think that there is a general consensus that IPOI, Indian Pacific Initiative, and the ASEAN Outlook, they need to work together. And I think we are, both sides are working on it. It's a work in progress, I would say.
Would you elaborate on India being amongst the first to accede to the Treaty of Amity and cooperation in Southeast Asia, in indicating our collective resolve towards maintaining peace, prosperity and stability in the region?
Well, India has always stood for that. We signed that Treaty of Amity and Cooperation with these countries in the ASEAN format, and we were the one of the first. And they look up to India, as is evident, with the growing our defense and security partnership with many of these countries and our other economic partnership with many of them. I think that is very clearly evident that they are trying, willing to trust India a little more. And secondly, India has become a more bigger first responder in the region, wherever, whether in our neighborhood or beyond, whenever there natural disasters take place or there is a human-made disaster, India is always there to help countries. So that's what we are doing. Secondly, we are also emerging as a net security provider, which is clearly evident in our fight against piracy, for example. I mean, India is one of the few countries that are just fighting there and saving the navigation, maritime navigation. We have seen the Houthi attacks. The piracy has once again increased. And therefore, India is counting there with 10 or more ships which have been deployed in the Indian Ocean and up to the Red Sea. And that's what India is propagating very consciously with the ASEAN and with the other countries.
This is a digital era, and increasing use of artificial intelligence resulted in a premium on trust and transparency issues affecting our concept of security. How do we tackle this aspect?
India personally always stands for the global good, global commons, global welfare. That is our main thing, even in the Indo-Pacific. On the other hand, what we are seeing is that certain countries want to step out of the normal parameters and contours. And there is no single, I would say, treaty in that sense. There was something which had been signed recently in the UNGA, but which is enforceable, and the same kind of standards, regulations, and rules about the artificial intelligence. But all said and done, artificial intelligence and its use are going to be implemented in whichever way. So we need to step up against. There has to be a global collaboration in this. It's very important that most countries understand that these kind of these uses gets into the hypersonic weapons, into the autonomous systems, and then it will become very difficult for the man to control the disaster that might follow out of these. And we have seen such kind of incidents that are happening. Today in the Israel-Hamas war also, we are seeing the AI being used, and the reports coming out. I mean, how these AI-driven systems have been bombing the place without any idea about exactly how many people are being killed. So that is something that we need to be very careful. It is important. But at the same time, if it is used rationally, it is definitely going to increase the efficiency of the countries.
There's also a growing recognition globally that over-concentration of manufacturing and technology is creating both supply-side risks as well as the possibility of leveraging with vested interests by some in the wake of natural calamities. How would you react to this?
I think this has been mostly done in the context of China. China has been a manufacturing giant for a very long time. And recently what it has done is it started manufacturing the technologies and the goods and produced under the ESG regime, like more environmentally friendly green technology and all those kind of things. Okay. Now, their scale of production is so high that it again beats the standard manufacturing that takes place in some other country. And therefore, people think that they are going to once again occupy a major role in the global and value supply chains. Now, that is the one dimension of it, given advantage to the country that is doing it, China in that case. And the others, like in Europe and America, they are somewhat cagey about it. Now, what they are trying to do is both sides are trying to get this geoeconomic advantage one way or the other. But this is a part of the transition of this global order that we are going to continue to see in different dimensions and different fora.
India and the ASEAN member states are also working together under various sub-regional mechanisms like the Mekong Ganga Cooperation, the Indonesia-Malaysia-Thailand Growth Triangle, and the BIMSTEC. So such collaborations, would you like such collaborations to take place in the near future?
Well, I think that this is important, and as you know that in the context of, we have two policies, let's talk about in this context. One is Act East, which means towards ASEAN, Japan, and South Korea, and all those countries.
Okay.
And the other is our neighborhood first policy, which is mainly our South Asian friends. And now we saw that SAARC did not work out because of the Pakistan continuing to adhere to this policy of exporting terrorism. And therefore, what India did? India started these sub-regional collaborative mechanisms like the BIMSTEC, like the BBIN, Bangladesh, Bhutan, India, Nepal. And so BIMSTEC particularly, we need to understand, it was virtually moribund for many years. But then India realized that it can blend its Act East policy through Northeast and the neighborhood first policy. And that's what precisely it is being done. So trilaterals, quadrilaterals, minilaterals,
so multilaterals. These collaborations, these according to you, are extremely important, and India would like.
They are useful, I would say. How important is depending on each collaboration.
Anuji, thank you so much for being with Akash.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on India-ASEAN cooperation for peace, prosperity and regional stability. The participants were Anil Kumar Trigunayath, former diplomat and Rajesh Lake, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on EIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on EIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at eirnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.